For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
We'll get into that whole Kelnick base running gaffe coming up in just a bit, but get some clutch. We talked earlier about my man, Canelo Verdugo. Alex Verdugo has been really good, but giving us the pop and just you wanted to see some clutch and all facets of it. You know, I thought this was exactly what this team needed. Look, it's a slow climb from the hole that they've dug themselves, but that's a team that, you know, you'd argue that when the season started, oh, we're better than the Twins, and they looked like it.
They did. The key thing is they got clutch hitting when they needed it. You know, Riley, man, he's been hot. He had a hit on Saturday, had a hit and an RBI on Sunday. Going into Saturday, he was hitting 372, four home runs, nine RBIs over his last 10 games. I mean, he's been pretty consistent. And then Sunday, Mike, Drake Baldwin. And look, I said to you guys, if Baldwin hits like we think he can, it changes this lineup. And he probably should have at least three or four more home runs
right.
that have either been stolen or, you know, a great catch was made. But he hit one out on Sunday, and you're like, okay, that's what we need, Drake. So Matt Olson came alive, two home runs there, and then Ozuna obviously goes deep. I just felt like this was the first series that the bats did what they were supposed to do. And
right.
you got clutch hitting, again, Friday night, that five-run eighth inning. That's what we've been waiting on, Mike.
Right. You know, you mentioned, you know, Money Harris. We're talking so much. I literally, because he had a really brutal at bat. And I was like, oh, what a terrible at bat for Harris. And then 2 minutes later, what a great at bat for Harris. You know, when he hits that, I mean, tape measure shot, 446 out to right. I mean, that was beautiful out there in the chop house, man. Watch out, get a helmet on. And that was great to see. We mentioned Verdugo. It's kind of weird if you watch Saturday. They went with another guy out. They did like a bullpen start. And then Woods Richardson came in, so he didn't have to face the Braves three times. Was the logic
right
behind it? It's kind of like new age baseball, right? But the Braves, that was a big win, 4-3. You already talked about the other one. So a little bit of clutch, a little bit of everything, come from behind. It's what you want to see. So hopefully, whew, a spark and, you know, mild distraction. It's the biggest story is the Braves allow it to be over Ronald when Ronald gets back. Hopefully he and Snit will kiss and make up. Or Ronald's already had this conversation with Snicker. But, yeah, that's the only thing. The sidebar to this was like, wow, that's just – that was an awful optics, right? I guess bad optics, I should say, for Jared Kelnick.
Yeah, and Mike Russo, who's a listener, and we know Mike well, and he hit us up at Mike Bell ATL and put him up, C. Dukes, and says, you guys are basically implying Snit is a racist because he benched a 21-year-old Acuna and didn't bench a scrub white dude, his words, that's a harsh jump right to racism. No, as I responded to him, you're the only one that's implying that. What I am telling you, that is the standard has been set.
Right.
And it should remain at all times, regardless of who doesn't do what they need to do. So what I'm telling you is Snit didn't take the same action that he had taken in the past for guys who have more value than a guy
right.
that did the same thing on Saturday night. And so when he didn't even speak to him until the next day, that's unacceptable. When you were so bothered by when Acuna got pulled or Ender Inciarte or Ozuna in 2023, and you made an effort to make sure that those guys knew it was unacceptable, but yet this happens and you say, I didn't see it as the manager, and then you say, I didn't talk to him until the next day, Mike Russo, that's unacceptable.
Right. Now, again, guys, you're the one that's making about race. double standard is simply about how you're being held accountable as far as being a professional. And we know, and a lot of, why? You guys don't want to make it about race. Sure didn't like Ronald's immaturity back in the day. Not to paint with a broad brush, but I'm seeing some of the same dudes in a bit of a thread here. But no, I mean, we knew that there was a I guess some guys mature at their own level, and that Ronald did some things, which, again, we see it with Fernando Tatis, we see it with Soto, we see it with a whole generation of ball players that even in his own town, Corona had to defend him for, which I thought was ridiculous, you know? But that was perhaps part of what Freddie had a beef with. I also know, and the one thing I will say, we didn't really touch on this earlier, the one thing I will mention about Snicker. Now, I don't know if he has a mean on to the texture's point, but I know that as a fan, I've always felt they don't protect Ronald Acuña over the years. And other players that do show personality and swag, whatever you however you want to define it, I've always felt sometimes they leave him out to dry, going all the way back to that playoff loss to the Cardinals.
Mike, you know nobody's been on Acuña more than me. Acuña for life. I've been talking about the value of what Ronald Acuña is. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know how good he's going to be coming back off the second knee injury. I've said it. I got to wait to see. But I have been championing this guy from the jump. And when his teammates consistently have not protected him in those situations you're talking about, it just makes you wonder what the vibe is and where the messaging is coming from inside the clubhouse. So, look, to me, I didn't do this. Mike didn't do this. When Ronald Acuña decided to make a statement and say, if it was me, they would have pulled me. He made this about a situation that happened, and he is right. They did pull him. He's not wrong about what he's saying. So I don't understand why some people might be taken back or offended by the idea that, oh, well, this wasn't on Snit. No, it's all on Snit because he sets the tone for the clubhouse and he sets the rules.
Right. And guys, you know, listen to the show. I'm always defending Brian Snicker. And I think some guys, you know, I get it. You watch the whole season. There's always, you know, points in the season. You can point and say that was a bad decision. This pitcher, that at bat, whatever. But we talked about, you know, the way he inserted Verdugo in the lineup, the pop you got from that. So I'm always going to have his back. But this is just, it's just bad optics. Either you're getting too old for the job, and you really didn't pay attention. You're not watching a guy on a bang-bang play at second, which she's never been a bang-bang play. She's been in there second standing. But he admired his work. And one guy hit me up going,
what was he doing?
Well, that's just it. Another guy, and the argument, this logic makes no sense.
What was he doing?
He says, well, Snicker, they were handling Acuña because they're molding Acuña. Well, molding a guy who's going to be an MVP versus a guy who's a bum, okay? Because that's what Kelnick is. Kelnick is a bum. Kelnick is a platoon hitter. He's a career 211 hitter. He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt for loafing. But again, if you don't, it's as big a story you want to make it. But if you do look at the inconsistencies, and I was a player in that locker room, I would go, hey, what's up with that? And that's why I think Ronald Acuña was upset, and certainly he's embarrassed about what happened to him in 2019 and has not forgotten about it. And that's his prerogative. I don't blame him.
Snicker's quote, 2019, he didn't run. You've got to run. It's not going to be accepted here. Snicker said this. As a teammate, you're responsible for 24 other guys. I guess Jared Kelnick isn't. That name on the front is a lot more important than the name on the back of that jersey. You can't do that. Snickers, quote, we're trying to accomplish something and some special things here. This was prior to the World Series, guys.
Well, here's the thing. Is it 6 years later, just want to deal with all this aggravation?
This is prior to the World Series, and personal things have to be put on the back burner. You can't just let your team down like that. Okay. So, again, Ender Inciarte, 2018, against Milwaukee. Didn't run after a pop-up. Pulled. You guys tell me. So I think that's the standard, and the thing that bothered me most was not that Acuña responded. If he's feeling some kind of way, Mike, whatever. It's the fact that that wasn't upheld.
No, I mean, guys, it's just, as we said, there's a lot of components to unpack. You can use whatever you want to how you want to rationalize Snicker's actions or say, look, he just made a mistake. And that's all we're saying. He made a mistake. And Ronald was triggered by it, if you want to use today's vernacular. And I wish Ronald would have, in hindsight, just reacted by reaching out to Snicker in private. But now it's public, and now we're talking about it.
Yeah.
Because Snicker did not treat a couple of players, and Carl just gave you the example, the way he treated another player. That's fair.
The good news is they did win a series, and hopefully we can build on that, and maybe these bats are going to start waking up, and maybe the spark that we needed at the top of the lineup, at least over the weekend, is happening with Verdugo, and maybe we'll see, you know, if that continues. And if it does, look, winning is all we care about. And at the end of the day, that we were able to win a World Series with the injury to Ronald Acuña, and we were able to overcome that. At the end of the day, that's all that matters. Can we get back to a chance and an opportunity to win another World Series? And right now, the way this team has been playing, you know, that hasn't felt that way. It's still so early that you can battle your way back, and we've said this, but you can't clown around, Mike, and continue to lose series and think you're going to be 12 or 15 games out and somehow just turn on the magic.
A couple of guys hitting us up on the Twitter, and we don't say X on Dukes and Bell. Follow Carl, put him up, see Dukes. I'm Mike Bell, ATL. Our man at the Butcher Shop says, I think you're also seeing another role. You brought this up last week, missing Ron Washington and Eric Young. Okay. One of those things that David O'Brien talked about in The Athletic. Can't help but feel they would have been involved to some degree. And we're confidants, mentors for some of the players, he says, mentions Acuna. The other guy says, there's a double standard for players who are part of the 10-year plan, Carl, and for those who might be waived tomorrow. No, wouldn't there even be more sense of getting on a guy's ass if he is that bum, as opposed to the guy that you are expecting to be the MVP parentally for your squad?
Yeah.
I mean, there's accountability across the board. That's what we're saying. Shouldn't be one or the other.
Shouldn't be. But it was. And by the way, you know, Ronald was not an MVP at that point, but he was already the Rookie of the Year. So he is already an accomplished player who everybody knows around Major League Baseball is coming. He's going to be a very special individual. And so part of this process was you're trying to mold him, yes, and you want to make sure that he's not getting preferential treatment. But Mike's right. I got to treat everybody that way. This is a 40-man roster. Right. Like all 25 guys, I got to treat all the same. And I cannot imagine, Mike, that, you know, oh, well, he wasn't quite the MVP and we were trying to mold him and that's why we did it. I think Snicker said, this is how I grew up. This is how we've always been around the Braves, and I'm not going to make exceptions for anybody.
Nicholas on Twitter, maybe Kelnick knows better, is trusted to self-correct, and Acuna thought he knew better and needed to learn. Really is a nothing burger in the end to Nicholas.
Thank you, psychologist Nicholas. Appreciate that.
I mean,
now we're in the heads of Ronald Acuna and knowing that he thought it was more or less. Come on, stop.
I mean, again, Kelnick, guys, he's a bust, okay? He is a bust first pick who's here, and he's a platoon guy, and they took a flyer on him. Why do you think they went and got Jurickson Profar? Because they knew Kelnick. Speaking of nothing burger, that's Kelnick. So I'm sorry, a guy who's hanging out by his fingernails needs to be treated a little harshly than a guy who is your MVP. Well, if anything, it's reverse.
Here's the other part of this, Mike, as we talk about this. If you're just joining us, it's Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guy Talks on the way. Snickers' reaction or non-reaction to Kelnick not hustling. That's what we're talking about. He did not run out a ball that he thought was going to fly out of the park. It didn't. Two outs in the sixth in a tie game. You could be the difference. Here's the other part, Mike. When we talk about this and we just say, oh, well, it was Kelnick versus this guy or that guy. Right. I just feel like shouldn't you be setting an example on a team that's been struggling? We're not in first place.
See, that's the thing. This goes back to, guys, okay, 6 years ago, let's just say I'll agree with some of the textures. Ronald had a bit of a maturity problem. Sometimes he would do things which drive you crazy, like some amazing young, talented players in all sports sometimes go through. But the standard is still the standard. And the thing that Carl points out is this team is not in first place, not in second place, has had a lack of energy on the field. You're the guys who write us, hit us up on the text line, call in, and say the team looks lifeless.
And yet this is allowed?
But this was, exactly. There you go. Here's a guy with a boneheaded play in a tie ball game, and you're going to say, oh, nothing to see here. Why? Look at yourself in the mirror on this one if you feel there's an agenda.
All right, man.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We got to move on. More on the Braves coming up.